hope the melodies which have just begun from hearing these words are continuing in your hearts right now. Paul, our patron, good St. Paul over there, he says we had in today's reading, he said we had courage to declare to you the gospel in spite of great opposition. And then he goes on to say, we speak not to please mortals, but to please God. So St. Paul, I read him as saying, you know, something that we always experience in our lives all the time in a way. Then we're with our friends, or when we're with our families, as we will be now as these holidays approach more closely, either face to face or by some other means of communication, or in our workplace with our people we're working with, our companions, colleagues, and so on. We feel the urge to say something that we believe is really true. We want to say something that's really true. And yet, we can sense sometimes that there's going to be opposition to what we think coming from within those various groups that I'm talking about. It's the old struggle between truth and love. Aristotle talked about it, the great philosopher. He said, when you're in a friendship and your friend is doing something that you don't approve of, which should rule? Truth or love? Should you keep your mouth shut so the friendship can keep going? Or should you speak the truth and risk the loss of the friendship? And Paul here is talking a similar language. We had, of course, the courage to declare to you the gospel in spite of great opposition. And we speak not to please mortals, but to please God. It sounds as if Paul here is choosing truth, in a way, over gentleness and kindness and love in that sense of the word. But then he goes on in his reading to say, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her children. So, as I think about that, Paul seems to be saying something like, you know, yes, we need to try to speak the truth in whatever situation we find ourselves in, with anyone. But we have to find a way to do it tenderly. You know, and that's kind of hard to do sometimes, right? And I wish I had a magic formula. If anybody comes around you and says that they have the magic formula to tell you how to do it, if I were you, I'd run away as far from that person as possible. Because there is no magic formula. There just isn't. Paul himself. I was reading a commentary about Paul, our great patron, you know. The thing about Paul is, of course, that I think is wonderful, is Archbishop Rowan Williams, the last Archbishop of Canterbury, he's one of the great living theologians of the world today. And he made this statement once in a little book about Paul. He said, you know, he says, Paul didn't know he was writing the gospel. He was writing letters. He didn't know they were going to end up being a part of the Bible, right? He didn't know he was writing the Bible. So thank God he didn't. That way he said what he really thought. And when we read Paul, Archbishop Williams says, you know, things like, he says, you know, Paul could be, this is, listen to what Archbishop Williams says. He says, Paul could be manipulative, that's a quote, and, quote, even seriously abusive to his enemies. That's the Archbishop saying that. He says the classic text to show that is Galatians chapter 5, verse 12, where Paul says to his people, he was having difficulties with some of the people in the congregation, and he says to those people, he puts this in Galatians 5:12, I wish those of you who would be unsettling to the rest of us would castrate yourselves. Can you imagine if I came in here and said that to any of you? I seem to think my contract might be withdrawn soon. In another text, he says, Paul, Archbishop William says there was a, his anger seems to have been running away with him for Paul. And he starts, this is in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And you know how he starts to talk to the people? He starts by saying, "You idiots." How would you like me to start a homily with "you idiots"? Well, John, it's nice of you to say, "Oh, it's okay," but no, it wouldn't be okay. So in other words, he wants to speak the truth. He wants to preach the gospel. And he doesn't want to water the gospel down. But it's hard to find the right way to do it sometimes. And so in his better moments, like today, he's saying, I tried to do it with a tenderness and care. That's what he seems to be saying. Theoretically, this is the old problem of truth and love. I remember once talking a little bit about this topic at another parish, and one guy in the back of the church started laughing, chuckling to himself. So after the service, he came up to me and he said, "You know, your homily reminded me of what we used to go through all the time when we were on our way to family dinners over the holidays, like Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that." And he said, we were kids and we were in the back of the car. And just about a block or two before we arrived at the house, maybe the holiday dinner was going to be at the uncles and aunts or the grandparents or wherever. But he said, just about a block or two before we would get to pull into the driveway, he said, my dad would turn over to my mom and say to my mom, "To whom are we not speaking this time?" We just know that that's the thing. And right now, of course, in this political season, I can only imagine it's really ramped up, right? Because you have all sorts of political views and there's lots of intensity. It's like the atmosphere is like surcharged. And it's just a normal kind of situation. Although this is not really so much of a normal election, this is really more like an abnormal election if you believe everything you hear and see. So in other words, we're in this time. And we really want to find the way to speak the truth, to be truthful, but yet to do it in love. Sometimes that means we have to be like that person in the car, not talk. Just keep quiet. Maybe that's the best we can do. Other times we might be able to, we try to wait for what we think is the moment when something has a chance of being heard, when what we're going to say might have a chance of being heard. Depending upon the moment, the place, the time. A lot of times when, you know, I've been a teacher, and I'm sure you've had similar experiences, and you have a student who can be difficult in class and stuff like that. And you have to figure out, you know, you have the needs of the whole class versus the needs of this one student. And oftentimes, students who are difficult are in greater need than everybody else, for reasons oftentimes which aren't their own fault. So, what do you do? And sometimes you have to wait. You don't want to shame them publicly. So you wait till after class, or before the next class, and try to talk to them privately. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Not to shame people or put them in corners or put them in a situation where they're feeling, not only are they being questioned by us verbally, but they're embarrassed. They feel like they've been purposely embarrassed, ridiculed. Sometimes that goes on. So that's speaking the truth, maybe, but it's not. The truth is not going to be helpful at all because it won't be heard. It won't be assimilated. So we have to find. So I think sometimes the best all I'm saying is we Christians, we know in theory truth and love are not in opposition. If we can learn to speak the truth in the right way, it will be the loving thing to do. And there is no such thing as true love that's not truthful. If we really love people, we have to be truthful. So in the ideal world, they go together. It's just that we have to find our way to how that connection occurs. So we can take comfort from St. Paul, who wasn't perfect at it, and neither are we. And we can ask for his help and intercession. Most of all, we can ask for the grace of our Lord to be with us as we now enter into this very, very challenging next few weeks.